Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Black Box Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjeev Varma, Whole-time Director and CEO of Black Box Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Hello and good morning, everyone. I hope all are keeping safe and healthy. On behalf of Black Box Limited, I welcome everyone to our Q1 FY24 earnings call. On the call, I'm joined by Deepak Bansal, our Executive Director and Global CFO, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. We have updated our results presentation on the exchanges, and I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. We are happy to meet again. Black Box is a leading global ICT solutions provider, a pioneer in building the pathway of digital infrastructure for its customers, with strong presence in 35 countries, served by 4,000+ highly skilled resources. For more than four decades, we have emerged as a reliable strategic ally in IT solutions and services, accelerating business transformation and strengthening digital infrastructure foundation, network, customer experience, connectivity, and more. We have our enterprises in consulting, designing, deploying, managing, and securing customers' IT and communications infrastructure. With the aid of this expertise, businesses can build and provide pertinent technological solutions and services that support their core business objectives. Our endeavors actively steer the evolution of digital infrastructure, reaching across continents and embracing diverse culture, all underpinned by our astute global approach. Think global, act local. Our global strategy enables us to maintain relationships on a global scale. This approach ensures not only relevance but also offers our customers the flexibility to achieve cost-effective deliveries across 35 countries from our center of excellence in India. This quarter, we continue to report a robust performance. For the quarter gone by, if you look at the deal wins above $1 million value, we have reported deal wins of $45+ million. Last year, same quarter, the deal wins was in excess of $35 million. So we have started the year on a positive note with strong performance across our business areas. We have seen significant performance in in-building 5G solutions, connected building, on-demand, and digital work solutions, data centers, and cybersecurity. Our cybersecurity business is gaining good traction, and we're increasing headcount in this vertical to grab opportunities that lie ahead. Our dedicated focus and investment in the data center space has been highly equipped. The data center market, particularly with the influence of hyperscale and cloud providers, is projected to experience substantial growth in the coming years. We stand ready and well prepared to embrace the opportunities that lie ahead. Presently, we proudly serve three out of the five major hyperscalers, cloud, social media enterprise as our esteemed clients, and we are thrilled to announce that we have recently advanced another customer in this space to a total annualized contract value of $100 million, making a significant milestone for our company. This robust performance can be attributed to our robust order book, which is evident in our new order wins and efficient execution capabilities. The consistent expansion of order book, even in the face of a challenging economic environment, serves as a testament to the resilience of our business model. Last quarter, we announced that we signed a definitive agreement to acquire Global Speech Networks in Australia. We have completed this transaction and further continue to look after good acquisition opportunities is in line with our stated strategy of looking out for businesses that offer growth potential by generating scale and revenue with suboptimal margin profile. The business must align synergistically with our current operations, enabling us to onboard new customers, amplify existing business endeavors, facilitate expansion into unexplored geographic regions, and build new capabilities. This acquire and scale methodology has worked out well for us, helping us to turn around the business quickly and bring short-term synergy. We are further optimistic on our growth plans and are well on track to achieve our guidance for fiscal 2024. That is it from my side. I now hand over the call to Deepak to run through the financial highlights.
Thank you, Sanjeev, for the detailed overview. Good morning, everybody. And I will now discuss our financial performance for quarter one FY24. So revenues for quarter one FY24 witnessed a growth of 15% year on year to INR 1571 crores from INR 1372 crores in quarter one FY23. And this growth in revenue is on account of strong order book reflected in new order wins each quarter and larger share of wallet from existing customers. Quarter on quarter revenue was impacted little bit due to a dip in TPS segment revenues. However, we are optimistic that this segment will recover and return to growth trajectory from quarter two FY24 onwards. EBITDA for the quarter increased by a remarkable 67% year on year to INR 89 crores from INR 54 crores in quarter one FY23. Please note the EBITDA for quarter one FY24 excludes the gain on cash flow hedges to a tune of INR 2 crores. Our dedicated focus on cost rationalization and improved productivity have started to yield positive results, increasing our EBITDA margins by 180 basis points year on year to 5.7% in quarter one FY24 from 3.9% in quarter one FY23. Profit after tax for the quarter grew by robust 56% year on year from INR 15 crores in quarter one FY23 to INR 24 crores in quarter one FY24. This substantial growth was partially offset by escalation in finance costs, primarily attributed to the upward trend in the interest rates. Earning per share, we reported an EPS of ₹1.43 per share in quarter one FY24 versus 93 paisa per share in quarter one of FY23. With a substantial performance across our business parameters, coupled with good traction in cybersecurity, data centers, and all our business areas, we expect the margin enhancement trend to continue, boosting our confidence in achieving stronger profitability in fiscal year 2024. That's all from my side. I will now request Sanjeev to join me for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participant present on the audio bridge who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Palak Shah from Billion Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on, like, last quarter we mentioned that we have a large order backlog from North America. So how did the first quarter went by? like how is the demand scenario panning out, and are we seeing any new geographies showing the same trend, demand trends like North America?
Yeah, thanks, Palak. Sanjeev here. So our demand trends continues to be strong, considering that we are largely in the non-discretionary spend, and with the hyper activity specifically in the data center infrastructure, we continue to see our pipelines grow. So I think our expectation for order book continues to be strong. We don't expect any significant impact of anything around our order book in any geography.
Okay, sir. My next question is on our CAPEX. So, like, we to achieve revenue of roughly about 7,000 crores, what is the CAPEX that we need to do? Like, what all areas are we looking at for further CAPEX?
I can.
So, Palak,
can you go ahead.
Yeah, so we are not a CAPEX-centric organization, Palak. I think we are a CAPEX-light organization. We do not have any significant CAPEX except for providing technology infrastructure to our employees, be it laptop or desktops, and certain office infrastructure. We do not have any CAPEX specifically. I think Deepak can give you an idea of overall number. Deepak?
Yeah. So our CAPEX, like Sanjeev told, is that mostly related to the servers or IT equipments and technology and whatever we are doing, like the integration of the technology and all those things from the software side. So our CAPEX normally we are expecting is in the range of, let's say, $3 to $4 million in a year, not exceeding that.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Ashay Jain from Jain Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. I have three questions from my side. So firstly, let me just congratulate the team on advancing the second customer to $100 million. I think it's a great achievement. So, congratulations once again. And so my question is, have we reached to the peak level with both of these customers in terms of new order wins from them, or there is still some headroom for growth there? And just to follow up on this, that do we even foresee more customers advancing at the same growth and getting close to $100 million? So what are our plans to advance other customers at the same rate?
Okay, so I'll answer the first one. So the answer is no, we haven't reached a peak state with respect to either of the two customers who joined our $100 million club. One of the customers, a large top, one of the top banks in the world, has been our customers for over 15 years. And and we continue to have a very long-term contract with the bank. The other customer, a social media company, has joined the club. And each of these customers have an IT spend of billions of dollars. So we are currently working to see if we gather more sites. We currently are working to see if we get more share of wallet. So there's a lot of headroom left with respect to what we can be achieving with these two customers over the next few years. It is a progress. You have to grow with the customer. You just cannot go leap forward. And I think we have gained the trust with the new customer joining the Honeymoon Club in the last 24 months. What took us about 10 years with the first customer, the second customer is, of course, taken us close to 3 to 4 years' time, right? So the pace is faster. Now, coming to the second question with respect to what are we doing, with respect to having more customers join, increase our share of wallet, the $100 million club. So we have a focused group focusing on a specific set of customers that we believe have the possibility to serve both locally in America and globally, specifically in line with our core strengths of data center infrastructure, building up cloud infrastructure. We have a strategic team focused on that. We already have a couple of customers that we are working closely with respect to progress. A $100 million customer doesn't happen overnight, but I think we are confident that we should be able to add as we move forward over the next few quarters to bring more customers doing $50-100 million. So yes, there's enough room with the existing customers to grow, and also there's enough focus for us with the capital expenditure. I call it the digital infrastructure era over the next 5-7 years' time. We are seeing some of that happening in India as well, with investments coming in the data center space, in the network refresh, in the airports that are getting built. Similarly, it's happening in other parts of the world, more specifically in America, is very, very large. So we feel enthused and excited about the opportunity to participate in building the digital highway on which the next generation applications will run.
Sure. Yeah, that's helpful. Second question. Just going through the presentation, we have highlighted that the cybersecurity business is gaining good traction. So if you can elaborate on some significant developments in this specific vertical during the quarter gone by, and how should we look at this segment contributing to our top line growth in the coming financial year, in the current financial year, so just balance quarters.
Okay, so we invested or focused, if you may, with cybersecurity bringing in a specialized team and a specialized leadership over the last 12 to 18 months' time. We were focused on first building our capability. Cybersecurity is a capability-centric business in building our SOC operations in America, our SOC operations in Mumbai and Bangalore, and that has taken some time. At the same time, we have been working over the last few quarters, and I think as we speak, we have been now able to fructify our cybersecurity business, winning deals from large managing security for large airports. We have a couple of airports now. We have large manufacturing companies that we are supporting both locally and globally. It's largely a services led. So I think although our growth parameters overall is very, very large, instead cybersecurity came much later. So we are seeing significant traction. So we expect over the next, this fiscal year and the next fiscal year, that our growth momentum in cybersecurity will be very, very high. We expect our revenues of cybersecurity in the region of 5 to 10% over the next 12, 24 months.
Great. Lastly, on our DPS business that got impacted during the quarter. I believe due to that, we had some degrowth when we compare our top line on a sequential basis. So can you provide some inputs on what exactly led to such performance, and what is the plan now on making this business to return its growth phase?
Yeah, so we had a decline in the TPS business in the current quarter, largely in the Americas, with respect to our go-to-market strategy. And I think that led us to have some decline with respect to our purchases in that space. So we are reorganizing and refocusing back with our specific IP-led products, focusing on end customers and larger projects. That is in motion very, very quickly, and we expect that we should be able to recover reasonably well in quarter two. At the fact of certain supply chain challenges, we were also behind in meeting some federal contract supplies that happens in a specific time, and we couldn't do that, and therefore we lost a couple of million there as well, which we expect to recover. So with our change in go-to-market strategy, focusing on end customers, with our rebalancing our supply chain portfolio to address some of the large projects for the federal customers, we expect a large recovery in that in quarter two itself. And we expect that we should be able to catch up and not impact our overall plan for CPS for the fiscal 24.
Understood. That's very helpful. Yeah, that's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Suhas Nayak from Krisa Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me? Yes. Thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. First question is on the overall, you sound quite optimistic about the outlook for your business. So how are we investing in your front end to actually tap this opportunity, huge opportunity that is there in the marketplace? So could you just explain about the strategy of go-to-market as well as expanding the reach by investing in the front end?
No, so I think we have been investing continuously in the front end with respect to our sales go-to-motion, or be it respect to our architecting and solution engineering over the last couple of years' time. And I think it takes time to ramp up, right? Whether you put invest in the front with our sales motion or our solutions or delivery capability. So that's one side of what we have done. But more importantly, I think we have the reasonable scale and the reasonable use case now as we start to grow. As you know, we grew last year itself by about 15-odd%. And I think when we get to scale, I think we're able to garner more share of wallet from our customers. Also, with what's happening around the overall IT ecosystem, I think networking, data center, cyber is the bedrock on which many applications run that serve both businesses and citizens. And I think as we speak, over the next few years' time, the network infrastructure, the consumption of information requiring from a data center is seeing tremendous growth. We are seeing it in India, we're seeing it in America, as we all see. And I think the black box, from that perspective, is very well positioned across continents and cultures. We present 35 countries to address our customers. We have a very, very good set of customers. So I think with the customer's requirement to revamp network infrastructure, to digitize the company, and to be able to prepare themselves for the next decade, I think Blackbox is serving that very well. So I think that allows us to address the customer needs in a very proactive manner now.
Great. So can we assume that this 15% kind of a growth rate is sustainable, or do you see an acceleration in that also?
No, I think in the visibility we have, expect the 15% organic run for us, we're confident to continue.
So actually, I am talking about the medium-term perspective, at least 3-4 years kind of.
Yes.
Thank you. Second question is on the margin side. I said that now, as you said, are the efforts towards cost rationalization and cost optimization, has it reflected entirely in the margins at this point of time, or what is the use left out there in from cost rationalization as well as optimization?
So I think Deepak covered some of that in his earlier statement. Having said that, I think the answer is no. We have not gotten all of that used up in the current results. We expect more improvement to happen over the next few quarters as well. We had a lot of reorganizing using our capability in Bangalore that started to yield results. As we speak, there are more to happen. As we continue to add more revenues, we are creating more models to serve globally through our Excellence Center. Now, those revenues will yield better margins because we are now more mature to support from our Center of Excellence in Bangalore. Of course, we are more mature to support locally as well. So as we grow from here, our yield of margin is expected to get better progressively quarter after quarter after quarter. So now the answer is we have more juice left. We would expect to go to 7, 8, 9, 10% operating margin progressively, and that is there's enough to be done here.
So the double-digit margins are possible over a medium term?
The answer is yes.
Great. And lastly, on the debt reduction, as the debt cost has gone up because interest rates are moving up, is there any plan to reduce the debt as we are also generating cash now?
Deepak?
Yeah. So the interest rates are not in our control because they are the Fed control type of thing. So our all the debt is linked with SOFR, and the SOFR has gone up to around 5.3% now. So SOFR plus margin, that's how the interest rate went up. Now the plan for reduction of debt, yes, by this year end, while we are generating the cash flow, the idea is that the most of the cash flow what we are generating is going into the growth of the revenues, because like you know that we have our most of the revenues is services led revenues, and in the services led revenues, the working capital requirement is there upfront. So whatever cash we are generating is going to fund that working capital. So but still by year end we are expecting some level of debt will go down, but I am not expecting like a very huge decrease in the debt by the year end activity. But yes, in FY25 our debt will go down for sure, because by that time we will have the substantial cash to have the working capital as well as the debt going down.
Thank you, Deepak. And the last question, if I can squeeze in, it's regarding the inorganic strategy, because that is also one of the important pillars of our growth strategy. So are you seeing any opportunities in the inorganic space, and if yes, what size we are talking here?
So I think we have stated that and consistently that we remain opportunistic with respect to our inorganic strategy. So we remain interested in the inorganic strategy. Having said that, I've also stated in earlier parts that we are not emotional about economics. So we wouldn't just want to add acquisition because we want to add revenues. We want to see whether we can add value, whether it can be accretive to us, and we are value buyers so that we can see, we can return to our shareholders in terms of bringing our value. So that's our thesis. Our thesis also is that we want to see whether it can give us an expansion of geography or a depth in a certain solutions that we provide to our customers. To that extent, we remain focused to see what opportunities we get at what value to do that, and we'll continue to do that in each market we operate. Having said that, our sweet spot is in general, of course, we have done some tuck-ins. Our range of $50-$100 million is kind of our sweet spot to see that we are able to acquire.
So is there anything under active consideration at this point of time?
So we continue to look at it, and the M&A is the activity where we can't say active. We are active in the market, but we continue to look at that, it's whether it fits in our philosophy in terms of the value, where we can add value. So right now, whatever the discussions are, they are into, let's say, the preliminary stages or whatever. It is not like something which is in very, very advanced stage. There is nothing in that stage.
Thank you very much, and all the best to the team. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Jeevan Patwa from Sahasrar Capital. Please go ahead.
So I have one question on the financials. In the P&L, we have shown the difference between in the depreciation and the finance cost for Ind AS and the book value. So just want to understand that.
So Jeevan, from the P&L perspective, you know that in India we have the AS116. So under the AS116 accounting, our depreciation is, so let's say real business depreciation, what we track as our business performance is, let's say, 11 crores for the quarter, and that's how the finance cost is like 28 crores for the quarter. But because of the AS116 accounting, we have to do our depreciation goes up to 28 crores, and our finance cost also goes up to like 33 crores, which is like a difference of, so between interest and depreciation, both the levels goes up by around, let's say, 19 to 20 crores every quarter because of that. But internally, for our performance perspective, we track like depreciation, business depreciation, and also the finance cost, which is as per the business. The Ind AS 116 accounting depends on the fair value of the long term, let's say, leases and all those things what we have. So this is that we do that accounting. We disclose both the numbers, but from the P&L perspective, if you run the P&L from the EBITDA, you have to reduce the depreciation as per Ind AS 116 and the finance cost as per Ind AS 116 to arrive at the PBT.
Perfect. And so in the future, at some point, this will reverse, right? So in the future, we will have a...
It will reverse if we are lower than our book. It will be lower only if we are winding up the business. Because what will happen is that you will continue to renew your leases. you will continue to renew. So right now, let's say if I have a 5-year lease, and that 5-year lease, I will again renew it for 5 years. So unless otherwise I am winding up the business, then only it will come down. Otherwise it will not come down. It will go almost at the same levels, 1 crore here and there. So because of the timing of the lease or because of the value of the lease, it can. But otherwise, as per the accounting thing, it can't go down much.
Perfect. Perfect. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. To ask a question, you may press star and 1. Our next question is from the line of Yash Mehta from AP Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I would like to ask a couple of questions. Earlier, what we have seen is many IT companies were laying off employees. How is the situation now? If you can throw some light here.
No, I think we are on a hiring mode. We are in a mode of growth. We do have a rebalancing of our employees with respect to reorganizing our center of excellence in Bangalore. So, of course, we're hiring more. We expect to hire more in our center in Bangalore and Mumbai to support our customers. That will be margin effective for us. So, overall, our net employee count is going up and will continue to go up.
Okay. My next question would be, data centers continued to be on the top of your deal wins this quarter. Assuming this win is from our recent customer, which was advanced to 100 million. Also, given in your disclosure, cybersecurity is gaining a good traction. Can we assume that we can see the same performance, that is good deals in cybersecurity, the way we are seeing in data centers?
Yeah, so I think, data center remains at the top of our pack because it's a hyper-growth area. To be correct, I think it's not an Asian customer. It's a global customer, largely in North America. And we expect that hyper-activity, hyper-growth in data center from the large data center operators, including the hyperscalers and cloud providers and enterprise customers, to continue in the midterm, so 3 to 5 years' time. So therefore, we remain bullish on our growth plans for the data center. But we expect the growth momentum for cybersecurity, as I said earlier, to catch momentum. We need to reach a certain scale. We are getting there, but we expect that momentum to grow with larger deals. We have the ability to serve both locally and globally. So it's margin accretive for us, and it's very critical part of any infrastructure. So the answer is yes, we expect the cybersecurity growth momentum to start to increase pace as we move forward from here.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Akash Mehta from Kepaz Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. I just had one question, building from last quarter. So we acquired a company in Australia where our intent was to ideally expand in that geography and to grab any cross-sell opportunity that there may be. So I know it's a little too early to comment on it, but if you can just provide some color on the developments there. Have we had any cross-sell opportunities as well?
I think it's too early. I think the acquisition happened last quarter, in the middle of the quarter, so we don't even have the first quarter. Having said that, as I said earlier, we have assessed the opportunity. It's largely in our CX cloud space. We have a similar business, so there are some overlaps out there. So we expect a margin improvement. We expect to cross-sell to each other's customer. I think our combined revenues in the market has reasonably gone up in ANZ. So the effect of that will be seen over the next few quarters. It's too early. It's not even the first full quarter that we've applied.
Okay. No worries. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from the line of Suhas Nayak from Kriza Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. Regarding your operating margins, when we say we are planning to move from 6%, around 6% to say 9 to 10%. What would be the contributors to that? What are the key contributors? Is it that the incremental business that we are getting are are at a higher margin. So can you just probably spend some time on this?
So there are three, four factors. One, of course, growth itself is a factor. We expect to grow
reasonably
in mid double digits. So when we grow, we expect certain of our fixed costs to get amortized in a better manner. Fixed costs are not linear in nature, so therefore it wouldn't grow. So that's one. The second, of course, we're expecting our global delivery model to mature better as we move forward, and that comes at a slightly lower cost for us, so therefore better margin. As we scale up from here, we expect some efficiency with respect to our procurement strategy as well, which will allow us to get some traction on that. And as we build scale from there, we are still in the process of working through implementing and focusing on our ServiceNow and ERP systems, allowing us to serve our back office in a more robust manner from offshore. So a mix of growth, a mix of ability to deliver from a global delivery model, our ability to procure better on scale, and our more productivity or more offshoring initiative that we have left to do over the next couple of quarters. A combination of these four gives us a good chance to start to move the six more towards 9 and a double-digit figure progressively over the next several quarters.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Saurabh Sandhwani from Sahasrar Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to understand how frequently do the systems and infrastructure that we set up needs an upgrade? How frequently does the client come back for an upgrade?
Okay. So I think if you look at the network infrastructure is a refresh between 3 and 5 years' time. Some of them are on 3 years' time, some of them are 5 years' time. It also depends on the economic situation and the financial situation of the customer and where they put the money. But in general, a refresh for infrastructure, be it network, server, storage, wireless, wired infrastructure, is between 3 and 5 years' time. Some investments with respect to cyber security are more frequent because there's a massive change in threats going forward. So that doesn't follow the cycle. It can be as quick as a year or 2 years, depending upon what the customer wants to do. But in general, our cyclical refresh of our businesses are, from a new deployment perspective, would happen between 3 and 5 years' time. So therefore, if you have a bunch of 500 customers, you're always in a mode of trying to discover that, design that, deploy that, manage that, and then refresh that, right? And then again, do discovery, design, because design can change. Customers are growing, they're expanding, they're re-architecting. So it's a continuous process, but a reasonable cycle is between 3 and 5 years.
Okay. And so right now, given that 5G has come in, we are in the new refresh cycle, right?
No, so I think it's different for every customer, right? Some of them are in third year cycles, some fourth, some fifth year cycles. So continuously we are assessing. Some are in expansion mode. If you look at some of our manufacturing customers, they're putting up semiconductor plants, massive. Those are greenfield projects. So those are new, right? And then, of course, we have customers like banks who possibly did a refresh 3 years back that's coming up now. So it's a continuous process of mapping an account, correct? So there's no... So every customer is in a different cycle of orbit based on when their capital expenditure happened in the past, what their growth strategies are, what new systems they want to bring. And so the greenfield that we will do now is 3 to 5 years' time, but the hundreds of customers have had their third year now, fourth year coming, or the fifth year, they're trying to refresh that. And of course, we also provide managed services, maintenance contracts after we do a project. So when we do discover, design, deploy, then we manage and support, and then over a period of time, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, we again do discovery, again design, again deploy.
Okay. And one question regarding the automotive sector. So now with the connected cars and EVs, so have there been any initiatives from the automotive companies to set up some infrastructure for you know, collecting the data from their new vehicles or anything?
Okay, so many of the that's a good question. So many of the automotive companies, of course, are working towards you know, connected cars, as you say. But they are, and the connected car data, they are not a data company; they are a car making company. So they possibly port the data to cloud companies, right? So they can possibly go to Amazon or go to whatever it is. Very few of them possibly will build their own data center. Tesla could be one of them, but many others would use the cloud that is getting built. And if you look at what we are doing, on the other side, we are helping build that cloud data center for some of those large hyperscalers that will provide the data management capability to the car companies. So the car companies would keep the data with the cloud companies. So therefore, we are building data center for the cloud companies.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Yash Parekh from Mera Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I just have a couple of questions. First is, earlier we have seen the impact of severance cost, which weighed heavy on our profitability. So what was the cost this quarter? Like, we have seen the entire impact of severance cost, or there is some more impact that we can expect in this current financial year?
Deepak, you want to take that?
Sorry, can you please repeat your last part of the question again? It was not audible to me fully.
We have seen the impact of severance cost, or have we seen this impact, or is there some more impact that we can expect in this financial year of severance cost?
Yeah, so severance cost, I think the majority of the severance cost was done in the March quarter. But yes, we will continue to see some part of the severance cost still, because we continue to see that that lot of people what we have identified, they are all, we are let's say reducing them in parts and pieces, depend so that the business should not be impacted. So as and when they are going, if there is anything which we have not accrued on their cost, and there is some cost, let's say, which goes up and down, that cost will continue to come. But we are not expecting in the range of what we have expected in what we have done the numbers in the month, in the March quarter. But yes, some of the cost in the range of between, let's say, 2 to 4 crores every quarter will still continue, because we continue to look at optimizing the resources and hiring the more resources in India to deliver the work.
Oh, fair enough. One more question. Globally, companies are witnessing pressure due to inflationary trends. Like, how do you look at this macro environment? Also, given such inflationary trend continue to persist, do we still remain confident to achieve our guidance for this fiscal year?
I'll take that. Yeah, so I think so the fact of the matter remains that there is an inflationary trend. There's also pressure on our interest costs. So we continuously have a cyclical method of repricing to our customers. More specifically, for all new bids, of course, we take every quarter repricing mechanics to adjust our sale price or relook at our costs. And also, as and when we get a chance to renew our customers, we definitely reprice it. So we are working to see that we are inflation neutral from that perspective in our all ongoing projects and sales process, and also on all opportunities to renew our customers going forward.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question of our question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjeev Verma for closing comments.
Thanks. With this, I would like to thank everyone for joining on the call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with me, Deepak, our Strategy Growth Advisor, our Investor Relations Advisors. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Black Box Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.